Hello, and welcome to part two in this two-part series on understanding acid reflux. I'm Jen Rice. I am going to be your guide and coach today on all things getting functionally fit. And before we kick off today's episode, I just want to thank you for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, I appreciate you being here, and this platform grows based on word of mouth and certainly your support by following on Spotify or subscribing other places that you hear, such as iTunes. We really appreciate your support and keep spreading the word. I am really passionate about teaching integrative and functional medicine and having people learn this really like a 360 degree approach to really empowering ourselves so that we have the most control over our health, not just our health years from now, but our health as soon as, say, 6 months from now. So thanks for listening, and we'll jump right in. If you missed part one, go back and listen. It's very helpful for understanding why we experience heartburn, the physiology behind heartburn, and how it can come from really a variety of different triggers, from food intolerances to medications to chronic infections, even environmental toxins. Definitely chronic stress. I know that for me personally, chronic stress was a big trigger for the relentless GERD that I experienced for several months before getting treatment through functional medicine. And structurally, we covered that it's a good idea to make sure that there isn't anything concerning going on that needs maybe some kind of GI specialist intervention. But a lot of times the truth is that heartburn doesn't really have an issue that is easily solved by conventional medicine or allopathic medicine, the medicine that I was trained in, the medicine I am super proud of, but it does fall short when it comes to these, you know, chronic smoldering conditions. Definitely people get controlled with something called a proton pump inhibitor, or PPI. So you're thinking of things like Nexium, Prilosec, and there's many other ones. And now these medications are over the counter and relatively safe for short periods of time. And some of the clinical research that I was reading on before recording this episode showed that there really isn't significant dangers across the board with being on proton pump inhibitors, but it definitely can affect different aspects of your, whether it's the immune system or put you in a state of being susceptible to C. diff. If you're not familiar with C. diff, it's a type of it comes up through antibiotic resistance. You hear about it a lot, but it is a super, super infection that is very hard and miserable. People that I have come across and patients that have told me of experiencing C. diff have said it was one of the worst things that you could ever really go through or experience. And I think that if we can avoid medication and lean on maybe some other coping mechanisms, other ways of getting to the root issues of our heartburn, then that's where we should begin with this. And if you're already under a physician's care or PA or nurse practitioner you don't want to go, you know, throwing out your medicine listening to this, certainly you want to consult with them. But it's always great to be an empowered, studious patient, right? Where you're going to go in and you're going to maybe have a list of questions. And, you may sometimes hear about eye rolling when it comes to, oh, the patient brought in a list, but I actually really appreciate a tag sheet on what is someone's biggest concerns, because I don't want someone leaving. I know for me in dermatology in my clinic, I don't want somebody leaving wishing they had asked some things that were easily answered by me too. Sometimes not everything is easily answered, but most of the time it is. And I think having a list and being able to talk through these things with your primary care doctor or GI specialist is all the better, because they may have some other options for you that they just didn't bring up, not knowing if you're open, you know, to learning more or not. I want to talk about when I went into the functional medicine visit and I did my, you know, 90-minute visit, and give you just a kind of a, like a glimpse behind the curtain of what we talked about and what I was sent home with when it came to my heartburn. So, of course, hashing through the previous 40 years of my life, because I believe I was 45 when I had my functional medicine visit, and I could remember back to probably, you know, maybe 6 to 10 years old, roughly, and could account for a lot of the history, of course, from teenage years forward. And when you unpack all of that information in the presence of another person that wants to know this information, that has to do with your, you know, your social history, your medical history, not only like what surgeries have you had, but what kind of personal interrelationship problems have you been through? Have you been divorced? Have you been married? Have you had a child? Did you lose a child? Did you lose a parent? Did you have an accident? You know, these kind of things come up, and everything from medications to, you know, what kind of things do you do to cope with stress are all brought up. So one of the things that she asked me about had to do with certain drinks and food, like how much coffee was I consuming? This is a really important question you can even ask yourself. When it comes to caffeine and other stimulants, how much of that are you consuming? Are you drinking these energy drinks all day? Are you having that espresso midday in order to like keep your adrenals going? So look at your caffeine intake, and a good place to start is to begin to moderate that. Another question you can ask yourself about is alcohol intake. And that's usually a pretty telltale sign of how well you're coping with stress as to how much you're drinking alcohol. I understand that if you're listening to this and maybe you're in your early 20s and it's your time to, you know, drink on the weekends or drink with friends. You know, there's always a thought of moderation with that too. I certainly wish I'd practiced a little bit more of that in my younger days. But either way, if you, at that time, I was not experiencing any heartburn. And if you are, then you want to look at alcohol and see where you can begin to cut that back. Now, another thing she sent me home with not only was to discover hidden food sensitivities, so you could, if you're open to it, do an elimination diet for, it's a 21-day program. I have something on my website that is an elimination diet companion, and what it does is it sends you an email every day to support you through these 21 days, and it also has some audio tips, and I've found it to be very helpful because I went through this kind of by myself with very little support. I mean, I definitely had home support through Dennis and my parents as far as, you know, helping me on to feel better. But it would have been nice to have a resource that I could have reflected with, or someone I could have sent an email back to asking certain questions, which is what's available with this elimination diet companion. And you can find that on my website. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, if that's something you want to do, to see if you are not aware of hidden food sensitivities. For me, this was a eye-opening, health-changing endeavor. No, the 21 days were not amazingly wonderful and enjoyable, but I am so glad I did it. Then another thing she sent me home with was something called a HCL test. And what this does is, and I want to walk you through a little bit of, you can have too little stomach acid, and that can be what is causing the problems that you have. And normal acid level, it creates a pH of like 1.5 to 2.5. But as we get older, the parietal cells of our stomach lining, they produce less acid, and the acid is called hydrochloric acid. And in fact, half the people over age 60 have low stomach acid. And by age 85, 80% of even relatively healthy people have incredibly low stomach acid. And then we place a lot of these people on proton pump inhibitors, which lowers their acid even more and really isn't the root of their heartburn in the first place. But let's get back to you and whatever age you happen to be at listening to this, and know that your normal stomach pH is going to be about 1.5 to 2.5, but you could have low stomach acid, and it can be due to a number of things. When you have low stomach acid, you can have problems absorbing a B12 through the food sources. It can B12 deficiency can cause weakness, fatigue, nervous system problems. And you really need adequate hydrochloric acid for the absorption of vitamin C levels, magnesium, zinc, copper. It's critical for the breakdown of all of our proteins in the stomach. And when we don't have the correct amount of acid in the stomach, this can cause indigestion. And it sounds backwards because people always think, oh, you have indigestion, you have too much acid. It actually can be that you have too little acid. So how do you know if you have too little stomach acid? Bloating, belching, burning, having burps, gas, especially after meals, a sense of fullness after eating, indigestion, diarrhea, constipation, nausea after taking supplements. You can have itching around the rectum, weak and peeling cracked fingernails, dilated blood vessels in the cheek and nose, acne, iron deficiency. You can have chronic candida infections, and you can have upper digestive tract gassiness that just keeps coming. So this is low stomach acid. So diseases that are associated with having this low amount of stomach acid are Addison's disease, which is an adrenal condition, asthma, celiac disease, we know well through our gluten-free world we live in, chronic immune disorders, chronic hives, dermatitis herpetiformis, which is also a gluten sensitivity, diabetes, eczema, gallbladder disease, Graves' disease, hepatitis, lupus, myasthenia gravis, osteoporosis, pernicious anemia, psoriasis. You're probably losing track by now. There's a few more here. Rosacea, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's syndrome, and vitiligo. So that, I just named off, I think 18 to 20 chronic disease states that are associated with low stomach acid. So imagine, you know, is low stomach acid the absolute reason someone has vitiligo? Not necessarily, or rheumatoid arthritis, but it could significantly be impeding their ability to digest food properly, use all the nutrients from the food that has been taken in to make enzymatic reactions that need to happen for the body to function as well as it can, as optimally as it can. So a self-testing and treatment for low stomach acid is something where you begin taking a capsule. You can actually buy hydrochloric acid supplements online. You take 350 to 750 of the betaine hydrochloric HCl. So it's betaine HCl with a protein containing meal. And a normal response in an absolutely healthy person is basically you're going to give yourself heartburn. I know, why would you want to do this? Well, you only have to do it once to know that that gives you heartburn. But if you do not feel a burning sensation, you take two pills with the next meal. And if there are no reactions after 2 days, you keep increasing these with each meal. And you keep doing this every 2 days. And a lot of times people do this alongside a healthcare professional or, you know, some kind of, you know, at least some kind of guidance so that you're not sort of out there on your own. But this is a handout from IFM, which is the Institute of Functional Medicine, and it is pretty all-encompassing. So once you reach an established dose, let's say you're up to 5 capsules and you have no symptoms, then you want to stay kind of at this one level. You don't want to take too much. And then you continue to your next appointment and get some direction from there. But a lot of people somewhere between 1 to 5 capsules will find that they have a, what we call a side effect or the effect of heartburn, and know that, you know, you're just taking a dose a little bit less than that to maintain. Like I say, very inexpensive, pretty cursory test. Now, this would not be something like this is completely contraindicated if you have a peptic ulcer disease, if you have a history of, erosion or other possible ulcer conditions. You don't want to do this without first being screened by GI. But again, this is something that's out there and is widely talked about in functional medicine. And it is something that is recommended in case low stomach acid is the culprit. Now, if you took one pill and you have heartburn, then low stomach acid is not your problem. Second thing I want to cover before we close this out, because I want this to be very practical, and I don't think that in this episode I necessarily want to go through all of the kind of stress modifying medication type of things that you could do to help. I think that we could make almost an entire podcast on, movement, stress relief, different modalities that can help with heartburn. But I wanted you to know these kind of DIY type of options that are out there for you that we do, that I experienced as a patient, and that in functional and integrative medicine, they do have people do on their own. The second one I want to talk about is a candida spit test. And a candida spit test is something that we want to see if your heartburn is rooted in, maybe it's a candida overgrowth. So they call that like a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or you may even just have excess, fungus, yeast, candida. And this spit test it seemed like I first read it and I thought, this is like, this is really a test. This is really funny. So you basically take a glass of water the first thing in the morning, before you brush your teeth. You have this, you fill your clear glass of room temperature water, and you have it sitting there, right? And you work up about a dime-sized amount of saliva, so you're working that up in your mouth. So it can be you want it to be a pretty good amount of saliva. And then you spit it gently into the glass of water, like it's going to be on like the top of the water, right? So it kind of comes out and it goes onto the top of the water. And then you're just going to leave it alone for 45 minutes. And after 45 minutes, you go back and you look at it. And there's an image that that they have accompanying this test, which shows you like string-like formations coming down, cloudy, sitting on the bottom of the cup, opaque specks of saliva. So any of the three signs indicate that there is a candida overgrowth. Is this super scientific? Are there probably, you know, other things that people can do? Absolutely. But this was something that was given to me, and I found it to be a very easy test to do myself. I could look at it at the end. At the end of my test, I saw like not really anything in the glass. So that was good because I didn't have candida as being something that I needed to dive into. But if you see a naturopathic doctor or functional medicine practitioner, and you're experiencing GI symptoms like heartburn or excessive gas or irritable bowel syndrome, they will often check this type of thing. And this is something that you can do as well. And so I plan on getting this, both of these uploaded into my website under Understanding Acid Reflux. They're, you know, completely free handouts. You can go to my website, JenRice, JenRice.podia, podia.com, and give me, it'll probably be up there by May, and you can download these and check them out and do the test for yourself. If you see something that doesn't seem right, or if you like get to a certain point in the handouts where you probably need to think about making an appointment with a naturopath or functional medicine provider, or definitely, you know, just get checked out with primary care so that we're not missing anything there. So I hope that this episode has been helpful to you. When we're talking about practical steps for our health, we want to create a, you know, like piece brick by brick. So the only way to build a health foundation, it's like Rome wasn't built in a day, right? And I always say that to myself, and it's important to understand that this is a journey, it's a progression, and you start with like one brick at a time. Now, you know, there are a lot of resources that you can tap into. Certainly, I'm hoping that this podcast is being helpful in that way for you too. I plan on bringing a lot more of this type of content to you and trying to keep it very short, sweet, concise, and under 30 minutes at a time. I hope that you will give me some feedback on this episode, and especially let me know if you would like to hear something in particular in the future. We're always open to having our listeners participate in creating the best platform that we can that is surrounding this functional and integrative approach to our health. Take care.